Are you going through a hard time? Personally, I want to ask you as individual believers here tonight that very question. And then we could ask it collectively to you here as a church. Are you going through a tough period? If the answer to those questions is yes, well then we are in very good company tonight. Because David, the psalmist, of whom we have read about in Psalm number 13 this evening, was facing challenging and tough experiences in life. And before we get down to prayer in a few moments' time, I simply want to consider with you from this psalm a prayer for help. A prayer for help. And as we think of a prayer for help tonight, notice with me firstly David's questions to God. The opening verse of this psalm, David, first of all, he asks the Lord this. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever?" I wonder, do you feel like that tonight? Do you feel as if the Lord has forgotten about you? Perhaps you don't sense his presence like you have done previously. And David here, he asks the question, "Wilt thou forget?" And those three words in our English language there comes from one word in the original Hebrew. And it means to be oblivious of, from a lack of want or of memory or even attention. So what David is really asking the Lord in this first question is, "Lord, are you not aware of what I'm going through? Are you oblivious to what is going on in my life?" Because David was facing much opposition from his enemies. And of course, you and I face opposition every day from our adversary, the devil. But perhaps there was an individual or people in your life which are giving you grief and causing difficulty and aggro in your life at this time. And perhaps you're wondering, "Lord, why are you allowing me to go through this?" At times we can feel like that. At times we can have those experiences facing the difficulties of life. You know, the Christian life, as we all know very well, it's not an easy life. It's not a bed of roses. And David, who was a man after God's own heart, was a man who was not immune from asking such a question, feeling as if God had forgotten him. Perhaps you feel that God has forgotten about our province when you see how far our province has fallen away from God and from his word. But God is still in control, brethren and sisters. God is on his throne. He's never abdicated it, and he never will abdicate it. He's sovereign. He's in control. And when David asked the Lord this question from the depths of his heart, that's how he felt. And even we could think about the fact that, you know, we're to come to God honestly, and we're to pour out our hearts unto him, because he cares. Because his ear, the Bible tells us, is open unto the cry of his people. Albert Barnes, the commentator, said of this first question, he said, "The psalmist breaks out into this cry in the midst of his troubles. He had apparently borne them as long as he could. It seemed as if they were never going to come to an end. We may presume that he had been patient and uncomplaining, that he had borne his trials long with hope and belief, and that they would soon be terminated. That he had waited patiently for deliverance, uttering no words of complaint, but now he begins to despair." You know, believers at times can despair. Perhaps you're even despairing tonight. Oh yes, you've come to the meeting and you've shook people's hand at the door and you've given that smile, thinking that everything's well. But perhaps tonight Your heart's breaking. Perhaps you're in despair. And he asks in this first question, "Wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" You see, David asked the Lord this because he was overcome with his present circumstances and situation. And he even wondered, would God ever remember him again? You see, that's how much our hearts can be affected by trials and tribulations. That we forget what God has revealed unto us in his word about himself. Of course, we know that he has promised that he will never leave us. And he will never forsake us. He says, "I am with thee." And he promises that. And David wondered about this situation he found himself in. Was he ever going to be delivered? Was there ever going to be relief? Was his heart ever going to be lifted up from that place of despair? That place of heartache. Then he asks a second question. He says, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Again, he thinks that God has forgotten him. Now, I know that at times Christians with the very best of intentions can forget, myself included. But you know, the Lord will never forget. Never will he forget you. And no matter what situation you may be going through, God knows all about it. God is in control. Let me remind you of that. Just as God was in control of David's circumstances. And God was going to work things out for his glory and for the good of his servant, as we will find out in the psalm. And as I thought about this second question he asked, you know, it is only when you and I go through really tough times, challenging times, in which we know who our true and our genuine friends are. And certainly, David, I'm sure he had many friends, but there was no greater friend that he could have than the Lord. Because he is that friend that sticketh closer, the Bible tells us, than any brother. Remember, this was a man after God's own heart. Felt that the Lord had forgotten him. That the Lord had hid his face from him. And that he was oblivious to what David was going through, but he wasn't. And then he asks the third question here in the verse 1. He says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" See, this is the third facet of his case where he asked the Lord, how long was he going to have to look within himself? Verse 2, he says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" You know, God's people can have sorrow in their hearts daily, just as David had here. And what was he saying here? He was confessing to the Lord, or admitting to the Lord, that he was looking to himself, because he says, "How long shall I take counsel in my own soul?" What does he mean by that? He was looking within his own heart. David was looking to David for help and for wisdom. Of course, it's not to say that David wasn't an intelligent person. It's not saying that he wasn't a wise person in many regards, but he was looking to himself to sort out the situation. But he came to an end of himself and he asks, or he says to the Lord, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart?" You see, he looked within for the answer, but what was the outcome? Only sorrow in his heart daily. "How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" And how often, whenever we face predicaments and situations perhaps which are outside of our control, that we look to ourselves. Perhaps a trial we've been through before, and we think, well, I knew what needed to be done the last time, so I'll just do that again. But it doesn't work out the way we thought or the way we planned. And you know, what we learn here from David was that when he looked within himself, he didn't find the answer. He didn't find the help that he needed. Hence, he says, having sorrow in my heart daily. Are you a believer tonight with continual sorrow in your heart? The Lord sees, brother, sister. The Lord cares. Just as he cared for his servant David. Then he asks another question here. He says, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? And you see the fourth facet of these questions. They left David wondering, how long was this trial? This opposition that he was facing, how long was it going to continue? Perhaps things in your life have not been working out the way that you would have imagined or planned, and it seems to be one problem or one disappointment after the other, one setback after another. We use the old adage, it doesn't rain but it pours. Perhaps is that how you feel tonight in your life? Well, we could say that of David. He felt that it was not raining, it wasn't a light shower, but it was pouring in his life. And he was wondering, how long is this going to continue? Albert Barnes said of this question, he said, this clause suggests perhaps the exact form of the trial. It was that which arose from the designs of an enemy who persecuted and oppressed the psalmist, and who had done it so effectually that he seemed to have triumphed over him, or to have him completely in his power. And of course, that's what the devil would love to do and seeks to do in our lives as believers. Perhaps to sow those seeds of doubt in our hearts and in our minds of God's goodness and God's grace to us. And when we've been seeking to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord, and we encounter nothing but disappointments and setbacks, and the devil would perhaps whisper to you, look what's happening. You're trying to do the work of God, or you're trying to live for God, and this is how God rewards you. That's what the devil will say to you and to me, because he's a liar and the father of it. And he seeks to wreck our faith in Christ and in God's goodness and in the grace and mercy and sovereignty of God. And David was left wondering, how long? How long is this going to go on? How long is my enemy going to triumph over me? And he uses that expression four times. How long? How long? How long, O Lord? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Hence this psalm, because of that, is known as the How Long Psalm. Because David asks this question four times. Or this phrase is repeated four times by the psalmist. So as we thought firstly of David's questions to God, let us think secondly about David's trust in God. David's trust in God. Look with me to verse 3 and we'll read down to verse 5. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. David, I believe here he was trusting in the Lord, not just because we've read about it in verse 5, and we'll come to that in a moment, but he says to the Lord, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Don't forget, this is the psalmist David, the king of Israel. And he says, O Lord, my God. That's who he was praying to. And that's for who you and I are here tonight to pray to. The Lord, my God. The Lord, your God, brethren and sisters. Never forget that. And he says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. That word consider there, it means to look at or to show regard to him. And that's what he wanted. He wanted the Lord to regard his situation, to look at him and to see. Of course, the Lord knew the state of David's heart. He could see right into the very depths of David's heart. He knew the despair and the anguish that he was in. And he says, consider. But he also asks and hear. Really to answer his prayer. To hear and to answer prayer. We come to a God tonight who hears and answers prayer. And I know God has answered prayer for you in what the Lord did in the mission. And it was great to hear of how the Lord blessed in the mission. And we give him all the glory for that. And that is answers to prayer, brothers and sisters. The Lord is real. The Lord hears and answers prayer. And David came to him because he knew that only the Lord could consider and sort out the situation in his life. And very simply, he asks to consider and to hear. When we get down to prayer later on, we'll ask the Lord to consider the situation that we as individuals face, you as a congregation face, and for the Lord to hear the groans and the desires of your hearts. And he asks the Lord here, he says, that lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, to be lightened, of course, it really means to be given an insight and an understanding which he didn't have before. Of course, he looked within, as we already noted, and he couldn't find the answer. He couldn't find the solution. And so he asks the Lord to lighten mine eyes or to open his eyes. And the psalmist prays in another psalm, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a good prayer to pray for your eyes, brethren and sisters. That God would open our eyes. That God would give us an understanding, perhaps which we didn't have before, or an insight into the reasons perhaps why. Perhaps David was wondering why he was facing such opposition. He just wanted his eyes open to be aware of perhaps the reasons why he was going through what he was going through. Of course, David wasn't infallible. He didn't know everything, and neither do we. But we come to the one tonight who is infallible, the one who is all-knowing, the one whose knowledge is perfect and never needs to be added to. God is not constantly learning. His knowledge is perfect. It's complete, unlike ours. And he wants the Lord to give him that insight that he needs. And brothers and sisters, we need that insight to know the mind and the will of God. For each of us as individuals, and for you here as a congregation. Listen to what we read in Proverbs 6, verse 23. Of course, David, he asked the Lord for insight. And here in Proverbs 6, verse 23, we read, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Think of the words in that very well-known Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Of course, we need to be in the Word of God for the Spirit of God to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us in the way in which we ought to go. And even though the way seems dark, God's Word, as we've read and we know, it is that lamp and it is that light for each and every one of us. And you see, David asks for this insight because that understanding, that insight would bring him joy, bring him peace, bring him that settled heart and mind that he would need to continue to rely upon the Lord, to trust in him, to let God work out his plan and his will in his time. Just as that needs to be done in my life and your life tonight, brethren and sisters. And he says here at the end of verse number 3, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And that really, it is an expression of desperation. Unless the Lord would intervene, that David would find himself in this terrible state, far worse than what he was facing at his present moment. But as I said, we see here David's trust in the Lord because he acknowledges that his enemy could say, he says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Of course, the enemy loves to mock and to scorn whenever times are tough, whenever our backs perhaps are against the wall. And David acknowledged that. And he was moved. It was something that caused him to be removed perhaps from the steadfastness which he once had. That's what it means. He says there, I am moved. Verse number 4. And that speaks of steadfastness or firmness. Of course, those of us who are most steadfast and firm in the faith, the devil wants nothing more but for that strong faith that we have in Christ to be shaken by the storms of life, by the situations which leave us, like David here, asking the questions, why? Have you forgotten me, Lord? Have you hid your face from me, Lord? And David's faith was under attack by the enemy. But notice here what he says in verse 5. And this is the thrust of my second thought tonight. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. You see, even though he was feeling in a place of despair, he says, but. And that makes a difference. That changes the trajectory. It changes the heart of the psalmist here, that while his situation was beyond his control, it left him feeling in a place of despair, but he says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Of course, mercy is not receiving that which you deserve. And God, who is so merciful to you and to me, David knew that he came to the Lord his God, who was a God of mercy. Because that is what he was trusting in. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And that word trusted there, we can get the interpretation from that to be that his confidence was in the Lord. That the Lord for him was a refuge. That the Lord was one to be sure of and to be sure in. That his confidence was in the Lord. He looked to himself, verse 2.
and he had sorrow of heart daily. But now he was trusting in the Lord's mercy. And the Lord is a very merciful God, brethren and sisters, tonight. And though we pray for those that still know not the Lord our God, a God of mercy, we pray for those that know the truth, and yet tonight they're still far from him, still rejecting him. But we praise him that he is a God of mercy. That he's a God of mercy, that this land needs the mercy of God. And we pray that in wrath the Lord would remember mercy. But as I said, David, his trust was in the mercy of God. And that's where our trust needs to be. Not in ourselves, not in our church, not in anything or anyone else, but in the Lord our God alone. Just as David's was. John Gill, the commentator, said of this, he said, "The faith, hope and comfort of the psalmist grew and increased by prayer. From complaining he goes to praying, from praying to believing. He trusted not in himself, not in his own heart, nor in his own righteousness and merits, but in the mercy of God. And not in the bare absolute mercy of God, but in the grace and goodness of God, as the word here used signifies. As it is displayed in the plenteous redemption which is by Christ, which is a sufficient ground of faith and hope." Of course, that's what he says here. He says, "My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." And that's our third thought tonight, because not only was David's trust in the Lord, but here he was rejoicing in God's salvation. And brethren and sisters, remember that no matter what you or I will have to go through in the will of God, we can always rejoice in God's salvation. Remember what Habakkuk said? He was speaking about the desperate situation which he found himself. But he says, "But I will joy in the God of my salvation." And this word rejoice here in verse number 5, it means, or it is from a word in the original meaning to spin around because of the influence of a violent motion. And that is usually used to translate it as rejoice, as it is here in this psalm, meaning to be glad, to be joyful, to rejoice. And we can still rejoice in the fact that we're saved. We can still rejoice in the fact that God is in control. We can still rejoice in the fact that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And we can rejoice in what God has secured for us and applied for us to us, and one day we will see his salvation. We will see the Saviour. And though the trials and tribulations of life, and some in particular, can be very distressing, can be very perplexing for any one of us, but yet they're only for a short time. They're only for a moment. The older I get, and I know I'm not old yet, but the older I get, and a lot of people whom I would speak to, we're all in agreement that time seems to be getting faster. Seems to be getting faster. And those older saints that I would speak with, they would say to me, "Well, it only gets faster. It only feels like it gets faster the older you get." And in a sense, that's a good thing, because we're nearer home than we were yesterday. And the trials are not forever, brethren and sisters. They are but for a moment. And the word salvation here in verse number 5, it means to be delivered. And of course, you and I can rejoice in the fact that we have been delivered from the wrath which is to come. We have been delivered from being cast out into hell for all eternity. We can rejoice in the fact that we're delivered from facing what this world will face in the coming time ahead in the will of God, where God is going to destroy this world with fire. And God is going to deal with all of his enemies, make him his footstool. But yet, we will be safe in the presence of the Lord in heaven with him. And we can always rejoice in this. No matter what we do or what we don't have of this life's goods, doesn't matter. We have Christ, and that's all that matters. That's what the people of Coleraine need. Or the person that the people of Coleraine need. They need Jesus Christ. They need his salvation. Don't need religion. Don't need good living. They don't need anything else but the Lord Jesus. So we thought thirdly there about David rejoicing in God's salvation. But lastly, let us see here in the verse 6 where we see here that David's desire was to sing to God. He says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now we know that David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. Probably had a very beautiful and angelic voice. And I know we don't all have that. We're not blessed. All blessed with angelic voices. But we are to make that joyful noise unto the Lord, no matter what key it's in. Why? Because, as David could say here, he wanted to sing because he had a reason to sing, because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with him. And you know, you and I, we can always sing because the Lord is our God, because the Lord is a God of mercy, and because the Lord has dealt bountifully with you and with me. And those words there, dealt bountifully, they come from a word in the Hebrew meaning to deal with or to treat anyone well. Or it can also be used to speak of treating someone poorly. But of course we know that David was not singing because the Lord had dealt with him poorly, but the Lord had dealt with him very well indeed. God had shown him kindness. God had shown him favour. And God has shown you and me favour and kindness. And thereby that lays the foundation for you and for me to praise him, to thank him for what the Lord has done for us. We will never cease to praise him. That's why Fanny Crosby, in her hymn, "We're Never, Never Weary of the Grand Old Song," she says, "Glory to God, hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong. Glory to God, hallelujah." Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For the way is growing bright and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it does the heart good to shout the odd hallelujah now and then as well. But he was singing and he was wanting to sing to the Lord, because the Lord has dealt bountifully with him. And we can sing. We have sung. And we will sing in a moment's time to the Lord, because we want to sing. Because we have one to whom is worthy to receive our praises, to receive the joy from our hearts, to receive the worship which we offer up to him in spirit and in truth. Not magnifying ourselves, but exalting him, glorifying him. So much of modern worship today is man-centered. Man exalting himself before God. But we want to exalt the Lord. We want to glorify the Lord. Why? Because he hath dealt bountifully with us. David sang to the Lord because the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. And there we've thought tonight about a prayer for help. David was a man who was in despair. Thought that the Lord had forgotten him. That God had hid his face from him. That his enemies were going to have a field day with him. Saying, how long, he says, shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Lest mine enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But no, his trust was in the Lord. His rejoicing was in the Lord's salvation. And his desire was to sing to the Lord. We come to a God tonight who is able and willing to hear our prayers and to answer them according to his will for the glory and honour of his name and for our good tonight. And let us be encouraged as we get down to prayer in a few moments. Amen. Amen. But before we do that, we're going to sing to the Lord who has dealt bountifully with us. And we're going to sing the words of 625. 625, a very well known and loved hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's stand and sing it to the Lord's praise. 625. That as well. Praise his name. Well, we're going to come now before the Lord humbly and reverently around the throne of grace, and let us come and let us pour out our hearts to him. Encourage as many of you to pray and to lift up your voices to the Lord, and let us just take time and to seek him together, and let us pray that he will pour out his blessing and pour out his spirit upon us now as we get down to prayer. Let's pray.